Studios in Eugene, Oregon, it's Oregon Update with your hosts, Cliff and Robin. You can join Cliff and Robin by dialing 646-721-9887 or by email at talk@krbnradio.com. And now, here's your hosts, Cliff and Robin.
The studios in Eugene, Oregon, with remote services in Cottage Grove. It's us.
You need to turn your volume down, way down.
I'll be sure.
Because when you started out, you almost went away. It was overdriven or something. Anyway, hi.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for opening the program by criticizing me. I love.
Oh, sorry about that, but it was either that or because we couldn't hear you.
That's all right. I have nothing important to say.
I'm not going to say that. Not going to touch that. Now they went to the 12-foot pole.
So anyways, we are still here, despite the fact that sometimes the numbers somewhat show it, but that's a whole different thing. But just like a bad headache, we keep coming back.
Well, I don't know if it's a bad headache or not. It could be. Is there such a thing as a good headache?
Not really, but there are better cures than what used to be the medieval ways, which happen to involve a drill. But anyways, welcome to the program. We'd like to invite you to call us, by the way, 646-721-9887. And, of course, you can follow us on Facebook, and you just have to go to Facebook and search for us, KRP.
It's interesting that you bring up the drill bit because this is Halloween. This is October, yes. And almost every movie has something to do with drilling into somebody's head or skulls or something. It's weird.
There you go.
The movies are
sponsored by Ace Hardware.
Okay. All right. Anyway. All right.
Anyway, 646-721-9887. You can also, by the way, if you happen to miss us, shame on you, live, we're still all over the Internet. You can listen to us on iTunes and Blog Talk Radio and go to our website and find links there. We're all over the place. Again, Facebook, you can go there, like us. If you don't like us, we'll like us. We just like the fact that you liked us.
But why don't you just say, put us in Google, just put Hello.
KRBN. See, it helps if you put the right letters in.
KRBN Radio.
Yes.
In Google. And it'll show you all kinds of places where you can listen to us. I mean, it's just that easy.
That's all you need, just KRBN. Those four little letters, KRBN.
Well, you should put radio in with it.
Actually, if you do just KRBN on just about any website, we are number one on the list.
Yeah, but there's also a KRBN radio station.
That's true.
And if you put in KRBN radio, they don't come up as often. Anyway, that's true. You put in KRBN.
Check it out for yourself. Yes, it's very easy. I mean, it's so easy, Cliff can do it.
Well, that's the point. It is that easy. And you're trying to make it, you know, you tell all the different ways you can reach us. It makes it hard. It makes people think it's hard. And it's really not. It's just unbelievably easy.
That's right.
And
In fact, okay, I just did it, so I'm going to show people how to do it. Do a Google search, type in KRBN, and the first one on the list says KRBN News Talk Radio. Hey, that's us.
Ah, hello. And that isn't hard.
No, I did it.
And the thing is,
even the Facebook page comes up, so no excuses, people.
Right, and that's the important thing. It's easy to find us. It's just real easy to find us. And so that's the thing to do is, if it's that easy, just KRBN, Internet News Talk Radio, everywhere.
That's right. And speaking of, if you also want to reach us when we're not live, you can send us an email, talk@krbnradio.com, in addition to the Facebook page. So there's no excuse, people.
That's right. There's none. Boy, I just clicked on one of those KRBNs that we're talking about, and it's got every possible. Wait a second, how many have we done? There's 189 programs, 189 episodes on there.
That's right.
Wow.
We have a lot of variety. We've been doing this for a while, which is why we have over 100,000 listeners, or at least listens to our archives and our programs, which, again, thank you very much.
Yes.
Anyway, speaking of programs, we do have a variety of topics, and as always, if there's something that you want to talk about that we're not talking about, you can join us on the chat room and give your suggestions there, or join us there in the conversation, or give us a call live, 646-721-9887. If you'd like to suggest a topic for one of our programs, again, send us an email. We have a few things on our list we want to talk about, and the Obamacare website is one of them, and we have a What the Heck Are They Thinking segment coming right up.
What the heck are they thinking?
Well, in many respects, it is what the heck are they thinking, and other topics that that we want to touch on. And I have a theory, which I put in the show description, about some people might call it a controversy or a conspiracy theory, but you're going to have to just kind of stay tuned to the show for a little bit to know what I'm talking about when it comes down to, did you sign up to the Obamacare website? Well, there may be you may have got a little friend in your computer, but we'll be talking about that a little later, so you're just going to have to stay tuned. Sorry.
Most people can't sign up to the Obamacare website. They can't get on the web. Can't get on the website. That's I just can't. Well, we'll get into that in a minute.
We'll get into that.
Because I just cannot believe anybody. First of all, I can't believe anybody could spend $500,000 building a website. I mean, what do you spend that money on? You don't spend it on anything on the Internet. To spend $100 on the Internet would be, well.
Yes. Well, anyways. Give me $500,000, I'll go back to college.
Give me $500,000, and I'll skip town. I'll go to Mexico. $500,000, I can live the rest of my life in Mexico in luxury.
Well, that's true. In fact, they're now saying they need more money to fix everything, which one of the jokes is, well, why don't you just call the Geek Squad?
Well, I know the best way to fix everything, and it doesn't cost very much at all. It's called a new president.
That's right. But we'll get into that later on in the program. But first, let's get the what the heck are they thinking out of the way.
Okay.
You have got to be kidding me. What the heck were they thinking? Can you actually believe they did that?
It's Robin's What the Heck Are They Thinking Award, where Robin picks out some of the dumbest and most ridiculous headlines of the week. And now, with this week's picks, here's Robin.
Okay, and today's award goes out to Richmond, Ohio. See if I get the name of the school here, because what we've been doing, or what I've been doing, is kind of pointing out some of the ridiculous. What I want to say is that there was a policy that was started for schools called the No Tolerance Policy, which was created in all good intentions. Well, as a lot of things start out with good intentions, it always goes to the extreme. Like, for one, be careful how you chew a Pop-Tart. It may get you suspended.
Well, yeah, you know, it depends. We've got to decide what tolerance means.
Exactly. Well, in this one here, which, like I was saying, was written in Ohio, 16-year-old Nick Andre's assignment was to write a poem about something that makes him angry. As part of the assignment, Andre read the comments to the class, and the administration at the high school learned about the content. The principal classified the poem as hazing harassment. In response, Andre told Fox News that, who am I harassing or hazing? Says, I didn't state any names, he says, because I'm reading it verbatim. I'm skipping through because I use the pitch software, and sometimes it likes to write something that it didn't. Anyways, basically what it was is that he was suspended for school for 4 days and removed from the football team for two final games of the season. And all he was doing was just doing his homework, just to write an article on what made him angry, and he says he didn't state any names, so who am I harassing or hazing? The Cleveland civil rights attorney, Avery Friedman, says that the breadth of expression, even in public schools, is virtually limitless, and unless speech is creating material disruption of the educational process, which certainly isn't here. So they're challenging the ruling and his suspension from the team for actually basically just doing a class assignment.
Well, that's yeah. You see, that's the thing. He's told to do something, and then when he does it, he gets in trouble. Now, that's the old damned if you do and damned if you don't thing, and you can't win.
Right.
And that's against the law. You can't tell him to do something and then get mad at him for doing it.
Well, exactly. I mean, I could see that if he was saying that, so-and-so, you're a piece of garbage, but basically his poem was called Stupid, which is actually the name of his poem, by the way, Stupid, which is about the Indian season so far, which has consisted of one win and seven losses. He said, I felt like it was my right to express what I felt about it. So, okay, guys, if you can't get more than one win and you're losing seven more times, you're stupid. Well, apparently that was enough to get him in trouble.
I think it's funny myself. I'm not at all impressed with sports, and it's all sort of stupid as far as I'm concerned. But the only thing that's not stupid about sports is the monetary part of it.
Right.
You make lots and lots of money in sports,
yeah,
and whether you're a player or whether you're the team owner or even if you're just the stadium owner,
well, yeah,
there's lots of money in sports.
I just asked Phil Knight, who owns half of Eugene, and he pretty much owns the University of Oregon, and they go, well, I'm just paying back my alma mater. No, you're not. You're making a pretty buck off of it.
Well, he didn't make his money off of actual sports, though. He made it off of sports gear, but
right. Well, yeah, they got the team and they got the little Swish logo on it. Well, that's because it just shows once again that with lots of money, you can go ahead and pretty much do what you want to do.
Yeah,
which I would like to find out one of these days.
I'd love to do that too. Yeah, find out. Just give it a try for a year or two.
Yeah, for a lifetime. But this kind of leads into what we're talking about here. It kind of leads into a segue that Cliff and I were talking about off air, which was, is it the internet that's pointing out that there's more violence in schools nowadays, or than there were before, or is it actually happening? And like when Cliff and I were growing up, I mean, we had like open campuses, we could ride our bikes without having helmets. We weren't under a microscope per se about, oh my God, be careful what you say. Don't greet a friend in the hallway and give him a nice, friendly little hug. I mean, that'll get you in trouble. Or any type of movement that you do is maybe considered inappropriate, even though it's, who knows, you could walk funny and wind up.
Well, you see, that's the thing. What really gets to me is who decides what's inappropriate? I mean, who decides whether it's right or wrong? And the person who decides it's wrong to give a student a hug when you meet them, that's ridiculous. Now, if a boy is hugging a girl, depends on how old they are, of course, it's just who makes that decision of what's appropriate and what's not. That's what I want to find out. And that's, we've got to decide and make it the same everywhere.
Right.
Not everybody makes up their own mind.
Well, and what's considered, like I say, a violation of the policy, for example. Like I say, there's a lot of things that we do whether kids or adults or whatever, we don't think much about it. I mean, it's just we're humans, we're social beings, whether you like it or not. And,
It used to be when I was younger, which was a long time ago. But anyway, when I was younger, I used to always walk up and give people a hug, male, female, adults, kids. I used to give a lot of hugs. I used to hug everybody. I was a hugger. But nowadays, if you're going to walk up and think about hugging something, you better ask them first.
Yeah.
Because, believe me, you're going to be in trouble if you don't.
Oh, it's the same thing as we had one of the companies I worked for, which is an international company. We had It was called sexual harassment training. And of course, being the smart ass that I am, I had to ask, was it to learn how to prevent or to learn how to do? And, one of the things that they said is that if you're a guy and one of your female coworkers is wearing a sweater and you just want to come up and go, hey, you know, I like your sweater. And, you know, that's it. No adverse intentions or anything like that. Just like, you know, hey, I like your sweater. Unless you ask permission first, this is the way they were given the training. Unless you ask permission first, that alone could be considered sexual harassment.
Yeah, that's ridiculous. See, that's absolutely ridiculous. You know, they wouldn't consider it sexual harassment if you walked up and said, your sweater sucks.
Yeah. Fine, you never know. But imagine this scenario. You know, you're walking up to your coworker. Excuse me, may I compliment you on your sweater?
Well, yes, certainly.
Thank you very much. I forgot what I was going to say, because I had to go through all these steps. Oh, that's right. I was going to your sweater.
I could understand it if you walked up and just ran your hand on the sweater and felt of the sweater, depending on especially where you're feeling the sweater.
Yeah.
But that I can understand, because that could be construed wrong. But there can be nothing construed wrong about saying you like the sweater or don't like the sweater. Or there, it can't happen. There's just that can't be a possible problem.
Right.
I mean, if anybody... See, that's the thing. We're getting to the point that if a person is offended by what you have to say about their sweater, then we've got a real problem in our society today, because that's not something you should be offended by. Now, that's something that we've got to worry about with everybody, because you know what we say can hurt people to a certain extent. And it shouldn't. That's one of the things I on any of the kids that I had, we had to work on, because if another kid walked up and said something about, you know, your pants look terrible or something, you know, the kid could be upset and get hurt by that. But that's my problem as a parenting type person, is to teach them not to take that as a bad problem. You just let that roll off. Let it just roll off of your shoulders, because it's not a problem. What somebody thinks of your sweater or of your pants or whatever isn't what they think of you.
Exactly. In fact, one of the things that I pointed out during that class, by the way, which didn't make me very popular as well, in addition to my initial comment, when we were required to go to it, is I pointed out that, okay, you know, when they're talking about sexual harassment in the workplace, because one of the examples that they gave is that, you know, somebody wears a mini skirt or whatever, and you mention that, or you're just looking at her, and, you know, that also can be construed as sexual harassment. Well, I raised my hand. I said, excuse me, first of all, wearing a mini skirt or other apparel is not exactly appropriate wear in an office environment, especially when you're dealing with people. And secondly, if you're going to wear that, you got to expect somebody to stare at you.
Except that ladies nowadays don't think so. They can get by with wearing almost nothing, and you're not supposed to stare at them. Well, that's not going to happen. That's
right.
Just simply not going to happen. You know, it's not, if a guy walked up and wore a pair of swim trunks that didn't even cover anything,
right,
people would stare at him. And he's not allowed to be upset about it.
Yeah.
But the lady who wore a shirt that's low-cut, V-cut, whatever you want to call it, does get upset about it. So that's it doesn't fit and doesn't work. You can't get upset about somebody staring at you, or even saying that, wow, that's, even if somebody walked up to you and said, wow, you got big boobs, that should not be an insult or, for that matter, a compliment.
Unless you're a guy.
Either way.
Excuse me, sir, but you have big boobs.
Well, I've had people tell me that. little kids especially, but
yes,
little kids don't care.
Now, it gets to be, especially when somebody says, you're staring at me, so that's sexual harassment. No, I'm staring at you because you look extremely stupid.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
But take it to the extreme, like when I was in, and I like to call it Lame Community College. And it's actually Lane Community College here at Lane County in Eugene. We actually had a classmate that security told them that they had to go change their T-shirt. In fact, they escorted her down to the PE department to get a loaner simply because on the front of her T-shirt was an advertisement for beer.
Yeah. See, I would like that myself, but I don't think that's fair. I don't think that's legit at all. I would prefer that people didn't advertise beer. I would prefer we didn't have beer. But then, speaking of beer, it's interesting to note that Americans drank 28 gallons of beer per capita. The average American who drinks beer drank 28 gallons of beer last year. Now, that's way too much. Way, way, way.
Well, I think that happens to be the, going back to school, or what is it? Was it 99 bottles of beer on the wall?
Yeah, but that's not supposed to be for real. I mean, not supposed to really try to drink 99 bottles of beer.
That is an interesting statistic. But no, where I was going is that if when I was going to college, and I think now about 10 years ago, if we had this program, I mean, if it happened to me and we still had this program or had smartphones, I'd kick it over to record or video or whatever, and I'd be putting it out there going, okay, well, yeah, I got so-and-so's brand beer on my T-shirt, which is my right to advertise. This is not something that's pornographic or, you know, assaulting. It's just a beer advertising. A lot of people wear the T-shirts with whatever it says on the front of it, and most of us don't even give it a second thought. But, you know, to be escorted down and the embarrassment of being escorted down especially and told that you have to change, we do not approve of your T-shirt, and being forced to change your shirt or told to go home.
See, that's one of these things. I don't think that the school has the right to do that. I mean, the school doesn't have the right to decide what people can wear. And regardless of what it says on the shirt, it's just a shirt.
Right. I mean, there's some people that, like if you're 250 pounds plus and you're wearing a belly shirt, that's offensive in a lot of respects. And plus,
yet they don't say anything about that.
Yeah, exactly. And not only that, but that, in my opinion, even when I was in high school, they were not the 240 pounds, but, belly shirts were being worn in high school and halters and whatever, and I felt that was inappropriate for that type of environment. But that was just my opinion, and that's how far that goes.
Yeah. That's the thing. That's as far as it should go with everybody. That's as far as it should go, nowhere.
Right.
It's not something school attire, you know, I know now there are some schools, and schools have the privilege of demanding certain attire if they want to. But it has to be of everyone.
Right.
So schools who demand a suit of clothes that is the same for everybody. Everybody wears the same jacket and the same color pants and the white shirt and that sort of thing. Then they can make. But if they don't have that, then you're tough luck. You just have to take what you get.
Well, see, it's also the because in some areas you don't have a choice of what school you go to. And so, it's just like a business. You know, if you don't like it, you go to another business. But in some school districts, you don't have a choice of going, well, if you don't like their policies, you can't change schools.
Yeah, that's true. We're having more and more people who are homeschooling.
Right.
But, and I can see why. I mean, we've got so many people making so many ridiculous demands on the schools, on people who go into schools, that I wouldn't nowadays, I don't think I'd let take my kids to school. Now, the thing is, most kids would like to go to school because that's where you meet your friends. That's where you meet other kids.
And hopefully learn something.
What's that?
And hopefully learn something while you're there.
Well, I don't think most of the kids give a damn about learning anything. That's an aside. That's something that they're being forced to do.
Right.
But they would like to go there to meet their friends and to do sports and things like that. So
when I was growing up, I used to get in trouble a lot of times. I go, did you do your homework? Nope. Why not? Because it's my time.
Well, that's another story entirely. I got into trouble at school because of that myself, because I was being told we had homework in two classes. There were two classes that we had homework every night of the year. And a lot of times I didn't do the homework. Now, what the thing is, I could read the subject. I could read it in class, and we'd discuss this always in class. The next day, discuss the entire piece about homework. I just didn't hand it in because I didn't do it on paper. So they could call on me, and I could intelligently talk to them about the homework and everything, but I didn't have it written down on a piece of paper because I didn't bother. I was busy doing other things. Most of the times, it was at school.
Yeah.
But I wasn't about to do things. And I got into trouble many, many times for that. I was not a good student.
Anyway, 646-721-9887, if you'd like to join us on this and any other topics. Later on in the program, again, we're going to talk a little bit about, did you go and sign up for Obamacare? Well, you may have a little friend in your computer, but we'll talk about that on the 30, so stay tuned. Don't you just like little cliffhangers? Or in your case, cliffhangers?
I'm not going to say a word. I'm just going to be quiet about that.
So anyways, anything on your mind, what we're talking about, what you'd like to talk about, give us a call, 646-721-9887. You can also join us in the chat room. And we do have a guest in the chat room at the moment. Unfortunately, with Blog Talk Radio, unless you have a free account, you can't participate in the chat room, which, by the way, that has been brought up many a time to, and he just logged out, to the powers to be at Blog Talk Radio. And they so far have, in response, said nothing.
Yes. It's Blog Talk Radio, I get the impression, is turning into a real money-hungry place.
Very much so. In fact, our numbers and a lot of other people's numbers have declined because of their changes. But I pick on Blog Talk Radio a lot, but mainly that's because I'm a paying customer and demand service. Silly me. 646-721-9887. Cliff?
Hello.
Yeah,
I know what we want to go to next. Do we want to change subjects or want to stay with the subject? What do you want to do?
Let's see. We covered the Obamacare. Well, we didn't cover Obamacare yet, but we covered the harassment and beer. Beck Bowl, what's your favorite beer?
I don't know because I don't like any of them.
Yeah. By the way, what I did want to touch on is last weekend there was there was four particular groups that went to Washington, D.C. in order to protest the Obamacare, the president, regulations, and the fact that the World War II monument was closed. And the question that I want to put out there has anybody seen any information or hardly any information on the major news services? In other words, has it been talked about? See, my theory is, even before these protests came about, that the people in the White House are just going to go, oh, look, the peasants are rising. We'll go ahead and let them do their thing on the weekend. They'll all go home to their little lives and nothing else will be said.
Well, interestingly enough, there's been a lot said about it. A lot said about it. And one of the things that was said about this whole business that I caught being said on television, and it just hit me like a ton of bricks was the fact that people, there was a poll, and the poll indicated that they would like to change everyone in Congress, everyone, not just the people that are different, not different people, but the entire Congress. They'd like to change it entirely.
Right.
Because people are upset with everybody. I mean, what is going on? What's happening to people when they're elected to an office that they change their mind or they change their ideas? And are they changing their ideas, or are we not paying attention to what they're doing? But we are paying attention. I am paying attention to what they're saying before they get into office and then what they're doing after they get into office. And the difference or the change is amazing. And we are getting a lot of changes. So at this particular point, America is very upset at what's going on in Congress, both houses of Congress. Doesn't make any difference, because they're all doing the wrong things. And we're going to have an election soon, and there's going to be a lot of changes, I think. But the thing is, we're liable to just – people are getting fed up and just sitting back and being quiet and not doing anything at all. And that's going to – I hope and I think it's going to backfire on us.
Well, and I think that like I mentioned, the protests, I think one of the things that it did spur – is I've only heard this on local news. I don't have any sources yet, but that the IRS is adding more security based on the recent protests, because the IRS is the ones that are going to be enforcing the Obamacare, and so they're afraid that there's going to be more protests against the IRS offices. In addition, another news article that I heard, and I don't have any facts, verified facts on this, that this president here has gotten more death threats than any other president in our history.
I wonder why. the thing is, I don't think the IRS is going to end up doing anything. I don't think the IRS is going to end up doing it, because I don't think it's going to stay there. I don't think we're going to continue on. We've got it there. It is passed. It is law and all that sort of thing and everything. But nobody's going to sign up for it, because right now they can't sign up for it, even if they tried to sign up for it. But people are going to get tired of the whole thing, and they're going to get tired of the crap that they have to put up with. First of all, they had to put up with the crap of passing it into a law. They finally did give up and do that, and now it's impossible to get to. I mean, people are only going to put up with this for so long, and then they're going to find... Because this is – who's got it? Somebody's got to be a blame for this, and we know who it is. And it's Obama, simple as that. And we've got to do something to change it. And at this particular point, I think most people are aware that the thing that we've got to do is change it. This is simply sit back for 2 years until it goes away. And then see who's going to
– Well, and you're right. People have short-term memories, which is why a lot of people – wind up getting reelected is because, who am I going to vote for? Well, see, I don't know this person. Hey, I've heard of this person. They're running again. Why not?
Well, a lot of times, and it's more than that, I sat back, and when I did my last voting, excuse me, I sat back and I thought about this whole thing. And I voted for a couple of people. I'm not going to get into who and why, but I voted them because I was thinking about, they did a couple of good things, and I thought, aha, they're good. But I didn't bother to look up and see how many stupid things or bad things that they did, or I wouldn't have voted for them at all. Once I sat back and looked at it and I've already did the voting, then it's too late. You can't take it back. But I a couple of people that I voted for that I shouldn't have, I don't think. They don't. You've got to decide how many good things, because just because they do one thing that's something that you agree with or something that you like, how many times have they done that, or how many times have they not done that? And how many times have they sat back and walked all over your feelings and done things that you didn't like? So you got to decide. You got to look at this a little more carefully. You can't just – this is not something you can just do – and absentia almost.
I totally agree. And And what they need to do is remember these people. Like on my blog, I still have the names of the Lane County Commission, for example, that went against the people's will on what they voted no on, which was a tax, and did it anyway. And they came right out and said, we did this because we felt that the need was better than what the people wanted. And so as far as the federal side of it goes, we need to keep track of, the Obamacare situation. We're dealing with this mess right now because, for one, it's an extraordinary large amount of, pages of the bill with so much stuff in it. But more importantly, is our representatives whose job was to vote for it or vote against it or whatever didn't do their homework. They came right out, and one actually came right out and said, it's not my responsibility. Then why in the hell are you there? Why should we?
That's it. We've got to decide what their responsibility is. We've got to decide what they're supposed to be doing and what they were elected to the office for. And I don't think we've made it apparent as to what we expect of our elected officials on any of them.
Right.
I mean, maybe a little closer to home, we're expecting more out of a person than we do with the. Because, you know, nobody knows what anybody, well, not nobody, but almost nobody knows what's being done not the White House, but the Senate and the House. You can sit there, you can be on television if you want, but people don't pay any attention to it.
Right. Or either that, or they fall for the soundbite. Like one thing if you pay attention at all, when the government makes a big deal about one thing, that means they're trying to distract from another thing. How many times have we seen that? Because we can only focus as a society. We can only focus on one issue at a time. You know, there's a lot of stuff going on. I mean, like the Syria deal, for example. The president wanted to go over there and send drones over, to do his thing, and claiming that there'd be no boots on the ground. We've heard that before. And there was such an uproar over that. Well, the president decided, I was walking in the garden and I was thinking about it. Maybe I shouldn't do it. And the sad thing about when the Russian president got involved and, was more the peacekeeper than our president. And because the amount of people that were just saying, hey, we don't want, let's just not rush over and do something. An average of 500 letters, 500 to one came in and said that, no, we don't want to do this. People are involved, and that's what they don't like.
That's the thing is, we need to be more involved. We really do. And what had to go down for that many people to become involved in anything? I mean, it has to be really drastic. It has to be really upsetting and really out of this world before we're going to get people to write a letter.
I thought
about it one time. Putting a whole bunch of letters up on screen on the internet, a letter for every possible thing that we could think of. And that way, if you want to write a letter, you can just go to that, copy it, and copy it to whoever you're sending it to. And you'd have many copies you could use. Because you have to sit down and think about writing a letter, and you want it to make sense. I mean, because most of the times when I'm thinking something, when something happens and I start thinking about it, what I'm thinking probably wouldn't make sense to anyone but me.
Right.
But it makes sense to me, and I get irate about it, just irate.
Well, people do need to get more involved in the Syria aspect. People ask, what good does it do to write letters? What is it? Does it make any difference? Well, the Syria campaign actually did make a difference when a lot of people got together and did it. And like you said, there are more and more people. I mean, just look at the numbers of people that went and participated in the marches, a couple weekends ago. I mean, there was thousands of people that drove from all over the U.S. to participate with this. But like you said, too, they need to follow up with letters and phone calls and let people know. But here's the other problem. they don't care because our system is set up, for example, well, like impeaching the president, like even though Michelle Bachmann, it's rumored on the Internet, it's not true, was going to introduce legislation to start impeachment. Well, here's the problem. It's so hard once somebody's in office to get rid of them, it's almost embarrassing.
Well, that's true, and I don't think it's necessary to do that, to impeach them. As far as I'm concerned, the real simple fact of the matter is we should see the hell out. That what happens in these far-off countries like this when they're having – this is a civil war. This is not a world war. This is not something we should be involved in. This is not something we should be involved in. It's not something England should be involved in, because usually when we do, they do,
right,
and vice versa. We should keep our butts out of it. I mean, it's their problem. If they want to go in there and kill each other off, that's their problem. That's their ability. They can do that if they want to. And we shouldn't be doing anything at all about that. You know, if anybody were to come over here, if we were to have any kind of an uproar and an uprising in our country, and they were to come in and say, you can't do that, then we wouldn't put up with that. And so why are other people letting us put up with it? It's just we need to get our hands off of this.
Right.
We need to stay out of it. We shouldn't be in Afghanistan. We shouldn't be in any of these places. We should bring our people home. We can still put them to work. I mean, there's lots of things we can put them to work doing, guarding our borders, for example, and literally doing something for our border. I mean, if we put all of the people that we have overseas on the border, there'd be no way going through, nobody getting through. Then everything would be to stay. They could probably put one person every 2 feet and have enough plenty to get it done. But the point is, we shouldn't be all over the country. To have one little building with American people in it, an embassy if you want to, but there shouldn't be more than 4 or 5 people in an embassy, as far as I'm concerned. And we shouldn't have hundreds of people in the embassy. And we shouldn't have our own schools. We shouldn't have any of this thing. We should just send 4 or 5 people over there and in each country, and that's all. And then all these other people could become home.
Right.
There's no reason for them to be there at all. I spent 2 years in Germany, and we did virtually nothing. Absolutely nothing. That entire 2 years I was there, I won't go into what we were doing. What I was doing is what I was trying to do is something I was doing while I was there, but that's an entirely different thing. And we didn't need to be there. To do it. It could be done from almost anywhere nowadays. And so I really don't feel that we need to have much of anybody anywhere on foreign soil. There's just no need for it. And even if they're inviting us there, we don't need to be there at all. We need to change our philosophy and just stay at home. And I don't mean we should be, what do you want to call it, homebodies. I mean that we shouldn't ever do anything or ever be involved in anything outside of our own country. But the point is, we're just getting too involved. For one thing, we're giving away money. All this money, we thought we were doing something really great when we we were going to be sending a bunch of fighters to Egypt.
Uh-huh.
Because we give away a huge amount of money to Egypt. I mean, it's like $1.2 billion or $1.5 billion a year that we give to Egypt. And this last time we were supposed to be giving, and I don't know how much it added up to be, but we were giving, you know, we had plans to give like 100 jets, airplanes, fighter planes, and some other things to Egypt, and we didn't do it, which is about time we kept it at home. But we should be keeping all of that at home. We don't need to be giving all this money to all these other countries.
Well, especially when here at home, we're struck, you know, we keep raising taxes. We keep saying that we don't have the money for services, et cetera. We have to sequester you and other things going on. We keep hearing about, well, the increase in debt. But yet, like you said, we're giving away money away to other countries, but yet we're borrowing money from countries.
That's true.
That doesn't make sense. For you and me, for example, you know, our personal accounts, if I ran my personal account the way that the government ran their personal account, they would come take my home away.
Mm-hmm. Take more than that. Probably
right.
Take you away.
Probably take me away, too.
But that's you're true. It's very true. And we need to do something to stop it, and we aren't doing anything. We aren't getting upset about it, nearly as upset as we should be about the idea of what's going on in our country. And what our, and at this particular point, we've decided the government is doing it. The government's doing it. Well, we keep forgetting, who is the government?
We're supposed to be the government.
And the thing is, right now, we are not.
Right.
The president is not in any way acting on our thoughts, our way of life. He's doing it all his own way. And he's messing up most of people's lives at this particular point. And many, many, many people have lost part of their job security. There have been hundreds of thousands of full-time jobs that have been lost. They're now working 39, 38 hours a week. They're not working a full 40 hours a week, because if they work 40 hours a week, they have to supply them insurance, and they can't do that. They can't. And this insurance that's supposed to be costing you less and less money is going the opposite direction. It's costing more and more money, and most people are finding out they can't afford it.
Exactly. Like the president recently said that, under my plan, it'll cost you about as much as a cell phone bill. Well, I'm sorry, but with smartphones, you're paying at least minimum $50 to $100 a month. So now you're tacking, you know, I mean, try to get a plan that's cheaper. I mean, you can. It's, you know, there's some companies that still have the plans just to flip phones. But, you know, to you and me, $100 is a lot of money. In fact, my property taxes alone this year went up $200, and I had trouble paying it last year. Now you're going to throw Obamacare on top of me?
Well, now you find. Tell me where you can find insurance, Obamacare and included, for $100 a month.
Exactly.
It's not going to happen. It's up around $800 a month in most instances. It's just not. And I've never heard of anything less than $250, $300 a month. Period. So it's just not going to happen. It's just because. One of the things that's supposed to happen to keep the price of Obamacare down is people who don't need insurance at this particular point, the young people who are not needing insurance, aren't buying it now. And they would have gone to buy it perhaps a little bit, but now it's hard to do. You can't do it. You can't get online to do it, and so on and so forth. And so nobody's going to work that hard to get something they don't want in the first place. So consequently, it's not going to happen. The whole thing is going to fall flat on its face. And we're liable to be in trouble, and the whole thing, because there was, what, $600 billion built into that bill for something.
Right.
And we tried to take it out one time and didn't get to do it, and it's still there. So
also what you're going to see is that people, I mean, there was a rush on the website when it was first introduced in October, but, you know, people tried, and after the initial trial, most people are just going to go, well, you know, they're going to forget all about it. And then at the end of the year, especially this year, you're going to first start seeing the penalties rolling in.
Well, that's the other problem. The penalties are lower than the cost of the product itself, and so who's going to pay a premium that's $4,000 a year when they can pay a penalty that's $2,000 a year and have it over with? I mean, I'd pay the penalty any day.
Well, the same here. In fact, going back to my property tax example, I've always used my tax refund to pay my property taxes. Well, if I don't have, and I still use the word, qualifying insurance, the maximum amount that I could be charged is around $2,100 after, you know, 2016, when Obamacare goes into full effect. So if I don't get my – basically, my property tax money is going to go to pay for the penalty for Obamacare, which I get nothing for because I'm paying the penalty. And I still have to come up with an extra $2,000 to pay my property taxes. And what's going to happen when a lot of people – you know, some people have to pay taxes at the end of the year anyways, and now they're going to get stuck owing taxes to the IRS. And if you don't have the money, well, of course, there's the penalties and everything else. And I just see the America going bankrupt because of this, because, I mean, the reality is we're broke as a society.
Wrong.
How am I?
We're not broke as a society. As a society, we're just not going to pay for it. I mean, we're making plenty of money, and we're just going to keep enough money for ourselves, and to hell with it. The government may be broke, and it may be broke in more than one way. I mean, it's broke as far as out of money, and it's broke as far as broken, as far as that's concerned. So we've got to fix our government somewhere or another. And the way it's going to happen is we're going to sit back and we're going to wait until we get into some new, anybody new, because it's not too long before we start this next campaign segment again, and we're going to sit back and decide, find out who's going to be running for what office, and then we're going to make it. And it's you know, obviously it can't be Obama. That's not going to happen. Now, so we're just going to sit back and decide who is, and I get the impression at this particular point, it's hard to believe that any Democrat is going to get there, because Obama has pretty well screwed up the aspirations for any Democrat to go anywhere. He's just really screwed up entirely.
Well, I'll disagree with you on that.
Really?
Yes, I will.
Okay.
And I'll tell you why. Okay. The reason is because there are some people out there that – they put down the Republicans. I'm not defending Republicans, but they'll only vote Democrat because they're a Democrat. And that's it, that they're blinded by everything else that happens. But I'm a Democrat. I'll never in hell vote for a Republican, ever, and vice versa.
Well, there are those people, yeah.
Yes.
And, of course, I just discount those people, because you're not going to change their mind, and they aren't doing anything that's legitimate. They don't have any – they don't think for themselves. They don't think about things. And so I just put them out of my mind as far as I'm concerned. I'm talking about thinking people, what they're going to do and what they're not going to do, people who actually think about why they're voting and who they're voting for. And I don't think they're going to vote for a Democrat. But that doesn't mean they won't, because we may come up with somebody. I can't think of who it would be at this particular point. It's not going to be Hillary. It's not going to be... I don't know. I can't think of who would be in the Democratic side that would be capable of running, that would create real interest in our country at this particular moment. But there are two or three people on the Republican side that I think are going to be running, and I think probably one of the most important I don't know what word to use. I don't want to say important, but one of the most adamant ones is Rand Paul. I think he's going to go probably the furthest. And I don't know if I hope he's going to do something with it. But at this particular point, it's still so far up in the air that it's hard to say who's going to do what. But somebody's going to do something, and I just don't think it's going to be on the Democratic side.
Well, I tell you that even in 2012, people were so desperate that, you know, anybody that jumped in the ring outside of the, you know, like Sarah Palin, Donald Trump, and then they were so desperate to consider somebody that even one of the two people that are thinking about running for office in 2016 almost sounds good, and that's Jesse Ventura and I forget the name at the moment that he wants for his running mate, Howard Stern. I mean, that's crazy enough that I'd almost even consider it, you know.
That to me is just a joke. I mean, just a complete and absolute joke. Neither one of those guys are qualified for anything whatsoever.
How about the person that we have now? Is he qualified?
Well, we know that. We know he's not. We know he's not, but he's there, and we've got to get rid of him. But we're not going to be so stupid as to go after.
Yeah, but we're not going to get rid of him. But what we have to do is learn from this administration and to prevent it from happening again. And one thing that definitely was shown in this administration is, for one, when somebody comes right out and they say that they have no respect to the Constitution, or the Constitution gets in their way, and then we also demonstrated that our checks and balances, which is why we have different houses and stuff, fail, that's when we really need to take a look at our system and go, okay, this is broken. We as the people who have the right in the Constitution to even peacefully change our government, we need to kind of look at, okay, well, what can we do? Well, we can send cards and letters, and we can remember who these guys were that, you know, wouldn't follow what they're supposed to do, especially the Constitution. And, I mean, get them out of office.
Well, see, the problem is we've got almost everybody in office. Almost everybody in office is doing something other than what they promised they were going to do. I mean, nobody is living up to what they promised to do. And it's just, we've got to figure out why. What's been going on here, and what is happening here in our country that is totally out of whack? Because it's got to be something totally out of whack. I mean, not everybody in the whole world has got to be lying to us, do they? I mean,
it makes you wonder. In fact, we've got a little conversation going on in the chat room here. And by the way, you know, you are welcome to join us here at blogtalkradio.com/KRBN. In a comment regarding Ron Paul is the issue about trust. Well, again, I mean, trust is hard to earn but easily lost. But how do you go through and trust somebody? Well, I guess one way is to go through and look at how they vote. Basically follow their actions. Like they say, actions are stronger than words.
That's true. But that's for the people who are already in office.
Right.
Now, are they talking about Ron Paul or Rand Paul?
I got to go back and look at which one. Let's see if you can tell me right now which Paul. Ron Paul. Thank you.
Well, see, you don't need to talk about Ron Paul. He's not running for anything. He's out of the question. He's, first of all, he's ancient. I mean, he's too old to do anything.
But it says that he would consider his son. So apparently the Pauls have it.
Yeah, I think so. But that's we're still way too far out from the election time to know for sure. I mean, there may be somebody getting in line there. This guy from New Jersey,
What's
his name? The big fat guy from, big guy from New Jersey. Huh?
Chris Christie?
Yeah. I'd like to see him do something. He's pretty legit, I think, and could do something and has enough of a brain to accomplish something. And there are some people out there who could get into the picture, and I don't even remember whether Christie is a Republican or Democrat. I don't really care. I'm interested more in the person who can actually accomplish something at this time.
Mm-hmm.
And at this particular time, I don't know of anybody on the Democratic side who is going to try to do that, who could do that. I would have at one time voted for the vice president to be president. And I'm not sure that I wouldn't even now, although he has a tendency to have run-of-the-mouth syndrome or something. I mean, he runs off and says things without thinking about them and then has to sometimes re-say them or retract what he said. And I'd rather have him do that than be so carefully controlled at what he says that you can't get him on anything. I'd rather have him say something that he thought of and then have to go back and change it and explain why he changed it, because at least it shows that he's thinking.
Right.
And I don't think we have.
Or it becomes a national issue. It's like, okay, I misspoke. Because people do that. I mean,
sure,
we do that here all the time. But to come out and say that, okay, my information was wrong when I said this, and to come out and bring that up before the news media starts hammering somebody, you know, you are creating a conspiracy because you said this, and then come out and say, well, I meant, or have his people come out and say, well, he actually meant to say this. You know, like you said, come out and say, you know, I made a mistake. I'm sorry.
I don't even mind if they do it. He does it after they've started yelling at him and started calling him things, whatever. As long as he does understand, because by making it a change in what he has to say and by changing his mind, you know he's thinking about it. I don't think Obama is thinking about anything. He's just saying what other people are telling him to. All this, you know, even now, I've seen him talk without a teleprompter, and he can talk without a teleprompter at this point because he's said the same things so often. He does. He's got them down pretty well, pretty pat. And it isn't what he means. It isn't. He doesn't think about it. He doesn't know what he's talking about.
No, what he is, he knows what he's talking about. He has his own agenda. He said that from the very beginning. In fact, I mean, what I call him a used car salesman. Let me play this quick little clip from the 2008 debate with him and Nancy Pelosi, not Nancy Pelosi, but Clinton, regarding health care.
It's been out there. Now, I have no objection to Senator Clinton thinking that her approach is superior, but the fact of the matter is that if, as we've heard tonight, we still don't know how Senator Clinton intends to enforce a mandate, and if we don't know the level of subsidies that she's going to provide, then you can have a situation, which we are seeing right now in the state of Massachusetts, where people are being fined for not having purchased health care, but choose to accept the fine because they still can't afford it, even with the subsidies. And they are then worse off. They then have no health care and are paying a fine above and beyond that. That is a genuine difference between myself and Senator Clinton. And the last point I would make is the insurance companies actually are happy to have a mandate. The insurance companies don't mind making sure that everybody has to purchase their product, and that's not something they're objecting to. The question is, are we going to make sure that it is affordable for everybody? And that's my goal.
And that's different from Obamacare. How?
Well, he's missed his goal, if that's what it was, because it isn't affordable anymore, and it isn't. But I'll agree with him. It's too bad to, you know. I said I would rather pay the fine. I never stopped to think of the fact that when you pay the fine, you're still without health insurance.
Exactly.
And so it's something that should be done to fix it, not to just sit around and say not pay it at all. And I agree with that, but something has got to be something done to change it.
Well, on top of that, since the Supreme Court says that we can force people to purchase a commodity, what's the next commodity that they are going to force us to do?
They can't force it. They can't force us to do anything. There's only one thing. See, I used to use this as a thing to say all the time. You can only force me to do one thing: die. Nothing else you're going to force me to do if I don't want to do it.
Okay. I won't go into details on that.
Well, you can't. You can't. You can't force me to do anything. I mean, if I really feel it bad enough or enough about what you're talking about, I could do anything. But the only thing you can do is force me to die. That you can do, and there's nothing I can do about it.
Well, there are laws against suicide, but then again, after you committed suicide and are successful, it's kind of worthless to, it doesn't do any good to punish you.
Well, I wasn't talking about suicide.
Right.
At all. You can force me to die. You can shoot me. You can stab me. You can do whatever. You can force me to die, but you can't force me to change my mind.
Okay, got you there. That just didn't come out not very good, at least where I understood it. Anyway, 646-721-9887, 25 minutes remaining in the program. And I want to get into the little teaser I was talking about earlier. And that is one of the questions that I've been asking on the program, especially after the rollout on Obamacare, you know, October 1st, and how Obama is being such a hard line on wanting to make any concessions on Obamacare, even just to delay it for an extra year, like he's doing with some businesses. That alone raises red flags to me and makes me wonder, okay, what's really going on? I mean, if you've read the bill anyways, you can kind of see some of the issues there. But here's something that kind of hit me this morning and I thought I would bring up. And although this may sound as conspiracy theory, but it's actually fact. In some respects, that I have a degree in computer networking, and Cliff and I both are into computers.
Morning I certainly wasn't.
Yeah, arguing with your computer, and it's been quite a battle, and you know, 2-0, and or Owens.
Really?
But anyways, but here's the thing is that, and you can look this up on Wikipedia or whatever to back the, what I'm going to say up here, is that when you go to a website, even if you come to Blog Talk Radio or whatever website, one of the things that happens in the background, and a lot of people don't think about this because it's, I mean, it's not really apparent up front, is when you go to a website, usually there's a little small piece of data that's sent from the website and stored on your browser, and that's known as a cookie. And the purpose of the cookie is to kind of, you know, store information, you know, basic information about you while you're on the site. But a cookie can also be used for tracking. For example, like if you, okay, say if you come to our program today, and it's going to put a little cookie in your computer saying, okay, well, you know, we went through this site at this day and time, and then you come back, say, next week, well, you can compare those two and says, okay, well, you didn't do too much of Blog Talk Radio or our site or whatever, but, you know, you accumulate a lot of those and says, okay, well, here's one of your browsing habits. You know, you like to check out this type of information, or if you go to a sports site or a few sports sites, well, you can compile those. Anyways, advertisers love those. Well, here's the thing I was thinking of. So you sign up for Obamacare, you're going to, you know, either a government exchange or the federal website. Well, by going to the website, you don't have to sign up. Just by going to the website, opening it up in your browser, they put a cookie in your computer. In which case, now they have something that they can track what your habits are.
I'm lost. I'm right. I don't really care if they know what my habits are. I don't really care at all if they know what I look at and what I don't look at. I mean, what are they? You say they're very happy to find that out. What are they going to do with it?
Well, advertisers, for example, love it because they can send advertising based solely on, or more so focused on your browsing habits. Like I said, if you like sports, well, they're going to send you more advertising sports related.
Send it to me where?
The ads that come up on your computer. You know, some of the junk mail that you get. Some of the when you go to a website, for example, the ads that come up, there, a lot of them are based on what your browsing habits is. In fact, there's a website. It's a commercial company called DoubleClick. I've been trying to get them out of all of my computers for years and put up blocks and whatever. And they're a commercial company whose sole purpose is to track your browsing habits, and they sell that information to advertisers because that's worth gold to them.
See, I find it really interesting that I've met many people who spend a lot of time saying, okay, they go in their email and it says if you can click here and then you don't get it anymore. That's going to give you more. The more you click on I don't want it, the more they're going to send you.
Right.
If you just leave it alone, if you just forget about it, and just you don't have to look at an email.
No, if you click the unsubscribe button, that basically says emails. Okay, click background. On spam, when they send out a bunch of stuff, it's all random. These offer lists are all randomly generated, and then when you click on the unsubscribe button, you just verified that is alive.
Yes, exactly.
Exactly. I mean, if you just let it go and don't say anything, well, it doesn't come back as a bad address. So that kind of says it's somewhat live, but not an active account. But when you click the unsubscribe button, that confirms to them, yes, it is an active account, and your name will be all over the place, and your emails or your spam will go up about tenfold. But what I'm saying is that with tracking cookies, or third-party tracking cookies, which are, you know, like, say, the most common way to track people's usage and habits on the Internet. You know, just by going to any government website, you now have one of their cookies in your browser, and you just open the door to be easily tracked and control and information. And like in the chat room here, I mentioned the NSA. You know, control is one thing the government really wants over us. And, you know, they're finding more and more ways to keep an eye on us, you know, like cameras that are there's cameras in
there, that's wait a minute, you're confusing what control is. Control is not at all that. They can contract you forever. They can find out exactly everywhere you go, but they can't control what you're doing. They can't control it at all. So they've got absolutely nothing except a lot of information about what you have done in the past, and you don't have to do it in the future. You know, if they have that information and they want to send you advertising, you don't have to look at it. You don't have to accept it in your email. You can just erase it.
It's not,
you don't have to.
How do you think people get caught for downloading copyrighted material, for downloading porn, or whatever? How do the authorities know that this is in your computer to even go after you?
They don't. I mean, you have to be caught doing it.
How do they catch you?
Well, when you're doing it, while you're doing it, they can watch your computer doing whatever they're doing. What's happening? If you're downloading a porn thing, you can they can see you do it.
Okay. Well, yeah, if they're monitoring the porn site. Okay.
It doesn't make any difference. They could be monitoring your computer.
Okay. How can they do that? How do they even know your computer exists?
Well, I understand that, but that doesn't mean you have to act on what they know. In other words, if they send you all kinds of email of stuff that you don't like, just erase it.
Not just emails.
All right, if they send you advertising on a web space.
See, that's the thing. They don't have to send you anything. All you have to do is go to the site, and that cookie is placed in your computer. You don't have to do anything. You don't even know it's there.
But they can't do anything about it. They can't use that cookie for anything if you don't want them to.
How do you mean?
Because what can they use the cookie for? They can use the cookie to send you something. You just ignore what they send you.
Well, they can use the cookie, like I said, to track your movements on the Internet.
But that doesn't accomplish anything.
Okay. Let me throw out an example here. All right. Like I say, I put a tracking cookie in your computer.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Which opens the door to, in a way, access your browsing habits.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And let's say Joe Blow out there, we figure out that based on his browsing habits, he likes looking up kiddie porn.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And that's being fed back to the original sender of the cookie because, you know, again, we're accessing your cookie file now because we have a link to your computer. We know your IP address. We know the basic information about the computer. We even know the username if you use your username outside of administrator. Most computers do have the name or whatever name you assign it. A lot of times they ask you to put your name in there, not all the time. But basically now we're targeting your computer.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, using spyware that we can now send to your computer, again, you probably wouldn't even know about, we can look at more information, do security holes or whatever. Even Adobe has a thing that they can there was a hole in their system where they were able to activate your microphone and your camera without you even knowing it. And so anyways, now you're a target. You know, you kind of woke the dragon a little bit, and so now he's watching you. And so we're just waiting for you to start, like I say, doing kiddie porn or whatever is your browsing habits. And so now, you know, they can come after you just for that because that's against the law for one thing. But they originally started that because you went to a website that got the cookie to begin with, and it's a tracking cookie, and they can track you.
Okay. Well, they can, particularly. They can track you for where you're going, and if that's an illegal place that you're going, then they can do something about it. But it has – see, I – as far as I'm concerned, whatever I said about what I said doesn't go for people who are doing things illegally. I mean, they're not going to get me for that because I'm not going to do that illegally. But what I am doing legally, they can come and get my computer if they want to, but there's nothing they can do legally about it. And so consequently, I can just ignore them. And I completely can ignore them. I'm sure they've got a huge amount of information about me. In my particular instance, not a huge amount because I keep changing my hard drives, but that's not for them. It's an entirely different reason entirely. But the point is, what I go to is not illegal, So if I go to something and they're sending me information about it, they can send me advertising if they want to. I don't have to look at it. They can send me emails if they want to. I don't have to look at those. And there's nothing that they can get me on. They can track me computer down to my house and come to my house and scream and holler and yell at me. But unless I'm doing something illegal, what can they do about it?
Well, the whole thing is maybe the best word of doing it is that they're profaning. Like, for example, just in the name of terrorism, like the recent article that was stating that the reason why they closed off the World War II monument is because there was a threat of terrorism, you know, not because of the shutdown. So that's why they went ahead and closed everything off. All they have to do is just say, okay, well, Cliff, for example, he goes to a lot of political websites and he's always looking up these type of things. Well, the cookie is now saying that your political affiliation is this, and that may be something that the government disagrees with or may think that you are actually doing something that might be terroristic in nature, even though you're not. All you're doing is just going to different news articles or news websites and the typical articles that you read are such and such. Then they may say, okay, well, we're profiling this person here as being anti-government, and so we need to add him to the list of the people to keep our eyes on. And so what I'm saying is that one of the hardest thing to do initially is to get that cookie to track you into your website, which is why a lot of advertisers do the third-party thing. But now we're sending a bunch of people directly to the source, meaning like the Obamacare website. You're going to get that cookie directly from the government. They don't have to do a roundabout way to do it. It's there, and plus whatever else they decide to sneak into your computer that your antivirus software may not pick up, and you've opened the door for a lot of bad stuff.
If I'm going to sit back here and believe that the government is going to actually be picking on me, then there's nothing I can do about it.
That's true.
I mean, they don't have to do that. They can do a lot of things, and they can have a person sit out in front of my house in a black car if they want to, but there's nothing I can do about it. If my own government is going to do something to me, then I'm just done.
Right, as an individual. But like information gathered, like the NSA, for example, they gather a lot of information on people. Use it for whatever reason, like they say, the excuses for, you know, with the terrorism or whatever. But information is big bucks and is power.
Well, yeah. To a certain extent, it's all absurd because you're not going to get anything. I mean, 99% of all this information we're talking about is worthless.
Well, that's true, unless, of course, just looking at Wikipedia, how they explain it. You know, cookies can also be used to store passwords and form users that privily entered, such as credit card information, address.
Now, see, that's actually working for you, not against you.
Right. Just like Facebook, for example, they just lessened their privacy, so they're getting out more information. You know, when they ask on Facebook for connect with more friends. Go ahead and log in under your email so we can look at your address book. Well, again, that creates more of a connection between, okay, you know this person, you know this person, they know this person, they know this person, and again, it creates a larger profile of who you are and who your friends are. And if it happens to hit that you have, say, have a friend with somebody they suspect is a terrorist, guess what? It comes back to you.
Well, okay. To a certain extent, you've got a point, but I don't agree with that point. I believe if you're going to be on the internet, you better take responsibility for what you're doing. And if you're not taking responsibility for what you're doing, you're just randomly doing anything you want to and just putting it out there. That's just like these kids on, or adults for that matter, on Facebook that are putting out, you know, lots of information about themselves and then get upset if somebody uses it. They're putting it out there. They're putting it out there.
Right.
I mean, I have information out there that I put out there. I have a picture of myself On the online, I have that's on Skype, actually. But I mean, I have a very limited edition of what I've got out there. And as far as, like you're saying, I don't have a camera that they can't look at me, and my microphone is on a separate thing, and I turn it down and turn it off when I'm not online, when I'm not using it, so they can't listen to what I'm doing. I mean, you've got to have some smarts and think about what you're doing, and you've got to protect yourself as well. So as far as I'm concerned, I don't think that the cookies are going to do anything. They can get all the information if they want to. They can get huge amounts of information if they want to, but unless they can use it for something, it isn't going to accomplish anything. And in my particular case, they're not going to be able to use it for anything.
Well, maybe in your particular case, but...
That can be anybody that wants to. Anybody that wants to be smart enough to take care of themselves and to protect themselves, they can do that too.
Yeah. Well, I totally agree with that. But there are, you know, like I say, information is power. And what can happen, you know, this is the thing I don't like about Windows, because there's a lot that's going on in the background. And unless you're a really super geek, you don't know what's going on. And there could be things going on. Well, just, okay, like when I used to work for an antivirus company, a couple times that we would get calls about the key logging programs and, you know, about how to get rid of them. And a lot of times employers would put that in there to monitor everything that their that their employees are doing. Well, those are simple to put in, and you don't know that it's happening, which is, of course, the whole point. But everything that you type on that keyboard, you know, is going out and being monitored by somebody directly. And that's all it takes. It's just you open that door, and whether it's the cookie, which is created, you know, which opens the door to a hacker, or like I say, the government that, you know, supposedly has the best and brightest in the NSA or whatever, they can do whatever they'd like to do.
I understand that, and I agree with that. But again, you have ways that you can counteract that, and you can do something about it. And if you're not going to take advantage of any of your own ways of fixing things, then you're silly enough to go online. Then it's your fault, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, let me interrupt you here. 646-721-9887. I'm going to go ahead and open the phone lines. So. There we go. So welcome to the program.
Hi, can you guys hear me?
Perfectly. Hi.
Yes.
Oh, perfect. Hi, my name's Chris. I've been listening for a while. I wanted to call in and make, kind of give my opinion on the whole, what is the danger of, NSA internet spying. My fear is that eventually I'm going to be put on some sort of political dissident list for being essentially overly critical of my government. Then while that's not an immediate threat to me, I think that in a time of emergency, in the past at least, that could come back to seriously bite me physically.
Mm-hmm.
The other fear that I have is that while, like, I don't care that companies can tailor products and advertisements specifically to me, what I do care about is if the government could tailor arguments and ideas specifically to me. They're getting a lot of data on what essentially I think could be considered kind of private dialogue, private political discourse. And I mean, there is a lot of propaganda out there. They do seriously consider how they're going to public relations wise put something to the public in order to get them to swallow it if they want something to get done. And that's essentially part of the corruption that I'm critical about the government, and that's why essentially, like you said, we can be very careful, we can be anonymous, we can take precautions, we can be careful about what we say, and I always try to be anonymous and all that, but I think that it's kind of an affront to a democratic society where we can't openly discuss our ideas without kind of fear of government reprisal.
Well, I the only problem I have with this is anytime you put something on the internet, you are no longer doing anything private. It's just not happening. The only way, anytime you put anything on the internet, whether it's email, whether it's an article, whether it's talking like we're doing, anytime you put anything on the internet, it's open to anyone, and not just the government, but anybody who wants it. And the government, I don't believe that the government is enough interested in what I have to say or what I have to put on the internet to come after me. They've got plenty of people to worry about that's a whole lot worse than I am. Even if they happen to tune in to our radio show for a short period of time and hear some of the crap that we put on the air, I'm sure if they listen to it because and it turns them on and they got the idea of listening, they're going to listen to it and they're going to sit there and say, well, after they listen a little bit more, they're going to say he's an idiot, and he continue on. Because I don't really care what they think about what I think, and so I do put stuff on the air. But anything that is of serious interest to me, anything that is seriously going to get my opinion of something out there, I don't put it on the internet. If I have something I want to say to something, I don't even call them on the phone because that's too easy to do too. If I want to say something to someone that I believe is really interesting or of real necessity, I'll talk to them in person. And there is a point where if you've turned to the internet to put information out there, then it's open for anybody, regardless.
I agree.
Like
yeah.
I said, is what goes on the internet stays on the internet. So.
Well, not only that, it doesn't stay on the internet. It can stay with a lot of different people involved. And once you've got it out there, you can't get it back. Even if you take it off the internet, it's still there somewhere. In fact, I have stuff. I've looked at there's a couple of websites you can go to, and I used to have websites that I sell things. And I had stuff that was 12, 15 years old on that internet of that website. I mean, different versions of the website, as I have updated it over a period of time, and they're still all there. And so it's stuff that stays there for almost forever, so to speak. And I just don't put anything on the internet that I don't care or that I do care about other people knowing about my life. I mean, there are some things I don't talk about my life and won't on the internet. It doesn't sound like this much because I rattle on and say just about everything on the internet, but there are some things that I don't say.
Yeah, and that's why I said that. I try to be completely anonymous. But I think that it's a real shame because the internet could be such a great tool, and that since we don't have that kind of trust for our society and our government that corporations and governments are actually moral entities.
I agree with you, but it's not the internet that's doing it to us. It's our people. It's our society entirely and how they think and how they act. And I believe that's one of the things we didn't get into today that I wanted to get into, bullies and things like that. We've got to change our society's way of thinking some way, and how to do that, that's another story entirely.
Right. And Chris, great call. I hope you'll call us back in the future when we got a little bit more time. And
yeah, thanks for having me.
And we'll be back again next Wednesday, 1 p.m. Pacific time. Hope you enjoyed.
Have a good day.
If you like today's show, please let us know by visiting us on Facebook and clicking on the like button. You can also get show updates on Twitter and on our website at www.krbnradio.com. This is KRBN Internet News Talk Radio.